Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Left hook, right hand! Deontay Wilder, all over Fury!
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
Thank you, Pedro. You gonna run tomorrow?
I'll be right. You gonna run tomorrow morning?
5:30.
I'm leaving tomorrow at 10. I'll run with you tomorrow morning.
Okay, babe.
Pedro Fernandez.
You asked me how well did he fight? I don't know, but I can tell you one thing. He punched good.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in the city by the bay, San Francisco, California, for another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, 36, make that 37 plus years now of knocking out all bums. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. In a few minutes, we'll bring in the retired HBO Godfather. Of course, we are having witnessed last night the performance of one Devin Haney, a San Francisco native, of course, now living in Las Vegas, but the WBC champion with an asterisk next to it, if ever there was one. They call him the email champion, the internet champion, but he's a talented fighter, no doubt about that. And some people have called him the next Sugar Ray Leonard. Well, I'll get into that in depth with the retired HBO Godfather, Larry Murch. Of course, hour number two, we'll spend some time with Vince Caruso. Who's he? Well, he's a boxing manager and a promoter that's got a lot of stories to tell, and he and I have been around the world, so we got some fun with Vince Caruso in hour number two. We'll also spend some time listening to the post-fight interview on the Zone by, of course, Devin Haney himself. Now 26-0, a 12-round decision winner over Yuri Gamboa. Gamboa is 38 years old. To say Gamboa had a glass jaw coming in would be a great understatement. And yet this great puncher from the city by the bay, this kid is supposed to be the next Sugar Ray Leonard, the heir apparent to greatness, couldn't crack an egg. Bottom line is, couldn't crack an egg hitting Gamboa anyway. At the end of the day, he was a 12-round winner, but unimpressive in my mind. How can you win 10 or 12 rounds and be unimpressive? Ask Devin Haney. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline. We've got open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or get this, the Guilfrey No Commitment text line, 415-275-1613. The text line, once again, 415-275-1613. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Devin Haney, the heir apparent. That's right, 21 years old, a phenom, of course, skipped the Olympics, undefeated now, 25-0, 26-0. A native of San Francisco, not training in Las Vegas, coming back rehab recently from shoulder injury. Anyway, they called him the next Sugar Ray Leonard. That's what they keep telling me. They keep sending me press releases. He is the next Sugar Ray Leonard. He is the next Sugar Ray Leonard. Well, guess what? To steal a line from the late Senator Lloyd Benson when he's talking about then-Senator Dan Quayle, who would go on to become the vice president in 1988, like he said, you're no John Kennedy, and guess what? Devin Haney, you're no Sugar Ray Leonard. JB's in the house. That means the HBO retired Godfather is as well. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Pedro.
Okay, it's a different world. Of course, we're waking up with a new president. We've got the 46th president installed, so I'll let you start with that.
Well, I was inspired by the election that so many people came out to vote.
Yeah, that was amazing.
As long as people come out to vote, then we're still good as a democracy. But and as long as a clown like Trump doesn't get into the position of a presidency, whether he's a Republican or a Democrat, I'm happy. And I'm happy that we'll restore some of the agencies and parts of government that really work and have smart people who tell the president when he's wrong and don't get fired for it. So anyway, I'm very pleased. I don't know that A lot's going to get done if in the divided government, if the Republicans maintain their edge in the Senate. We shall find out, and we shall overcome.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is I think the nation has spoken. I mean, that many people come out and vote, and, of course, flipping states from one color to another, whether they're red or blue, at the end of the day, he won the election by like 4 or 5 million votes. At the end of the day, he is our next president. I'm talking about Joe Biden, of course, the former senator and the former vice president under President Barack Obama. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Did you get a chance to see Devin Haney last night?
Did not.
Okay, you didn't miss much. You went 12 rounds with Yuri Gamboa, and I was a little bit surprised because you and I know that Gamboa is a bit chinny, and he's 38 years old to begin with, and he's fighting two weight classes above what he used to fight at, and this kid's supposed to be the next Sugar Ray Leonard, and I watched him last night, and he was like a poor imitation of Dan Quayle.
Well, I've heard quite a bit about him, and maybe he's been moved up the ladder in a very defensive way. We'll find out ultimately if he fights one of the several serious fighters in that division.
You know, he at 17 years old, I remember he was a native of San Francisco where I live, and he skipped the Olympics. He was like a favorite to win a gold medal, or pretty close to a favorite to win a gold medal. He skipped the Olympics and he turned pro and he went to Mexico and had some fights in Mexico because he was only 17 years old. So he learned a little craft down there. He came back. I mean, he's really got some nice moves and some nice hands on last night. I just didn't see it last night. And against an opponent that's 30 years old, long in the tooth, I thought he would have come out and really, really looked to impress. Because, you know, Teofimo Lopez, of a 4-1 underdog just a fortnight ago, took apart Vasyl Lomachenko for the most part of 12 rounds. And if you want to fight with that guy, you've got to do more than Haney did last night.
Well, if he has an ambition to be in the second or third or fourth coming of Sugar Ray Leonard, that's a good ambition. But Leonard was one of the great fighters of any time, and certainly the best of, in my view, of in modern times. And
I think he was the greatest athlete. I think he was the greatest athlete I've ever been around. I mean, I've run with some guys that are considered good athletes in this and that, but I don't think I've ever seen an athlete, a complete athlete, as Ray Charles Leonard. I mean, I was just like blown away by him.
Well, he had good trainers, and he was one of those boxers who can fight and fighters who could box.
You know, I'm laughing right now myself because I remember he and I, we used to compare our ankles. We'd be in the jacuzzi down there in West Palm Beach when he was training down there for the Tommy Aarons rematch in 89. And we're comparing our ankles. We both had skinny ankles, but Ray had ankles that looked unhuman. They were so skinny. And how he got so much speed generated on that, you wouldn't believe it, Godfather. We were like neck and neck for a mile and a half. No, take it back. Neck and neck for 2 miles, and it was a 2.5 mile run. And he beat me in that half mile by a quarter mile.
Well, he was always pretty good in the 11th and 12th rounds.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So we've got Haney, of course. Take it back. Let's listen to Mr. Haney right now. Let's get a clip of Mr. Haney rocking and rolling. Mr. Haney,
Devin, congratulations. I know you were looking for something spectacular in this fight, but you pitch basically a shutout on two of the judges' scorecards, dominate on the third. What did you think of your performance?
I thought I put in a world-class performance. Of course, I wanted the knockout, but he was a crafty veteran. He was doing a lot of holding and, you know, trying to survive, so it is what it is.
We've seen Gamboa get reckless at times, engage at times. You even said yourself during the week, Gamboa is most dangerous when he's hurt. Were you surprised by how he fought you?
No, I wasn't surprised at all. I knew that he was going to come in, he was going to be scrappy, and he was going to do anything to survive, and that's what he did.
You mentioned the holding. Gamboa did have a point deducted later in the fight. How challenging was that for you?
It was what it was. I knew coming in that he was going to do a lot of holding. I hit him with big shots, and whenever he was hurt, he would hold and he would get scrappy. But that's just him being a veteran and him knowing how to survive and, you know, being in a lot of big fights.
We're taking a look at some of the better shots for you on the monitor tonight. What do you think was your most effective round, most effective punches?
I'm not sure. I got to watch the fight over again. I hit him with some big shots. Like I said, he was real crafty. He knew how to survive. I hit him with a lot of good jabs. He's crafty opponent. He's a true champion. I take nothing away from him.
Was it difficult for you during this fight to fight the urge to get reckless yourself because you were looking for that kind of performance we've seen from some of the top lightweights in boxing?
At times, I did get a little reckless because I wanted the knockout. But that's just with him being a crafty opponent. He knew how to survive. He knew how to take the big shots. He knew how to hold on.
Was there a point during the fight, Devin, where you kind of said, look, this might be a fight that goes the distance. I might not be able to put together that type of one-punch knockout like you had with Antonio Moran a year ago.
No, I knew that I was going to try to hit him with big shots from round 1 to round 12. That's why in round 12 you guys see me bite down and even try to still get him out of there because I wanted the knockout. But, you know, it's good to get the rounds. It shows that, you know, how good of a boxer I am. And when I want to bang, I can bang. When I want to box, I can box.
It's your first fight since having shoulder surgery after your last fight. How did you feel in the ring?
Shoulder felt great, 100%.
Did you feel any rust after such a long layoff?
No ring rust.
So we know your division is the hottest division in boxing right now. What kind of message do you think you sent to the division tonight?
It's a lot of big fights out there. I showed that I'm here, and I'm not going anywhere. I want the big fights. I want to make these big fights. Fighting someone like Gamboa was a stepping stone, but I'm here for the big fights. I want to make the biggest fights happen to bring the best out of me.
All right, so what is that big fight that you want to get into next?
There's a lot of big fights in the lightweight division. Teofimo Lopez is the one with the rest of the belts, so that's the main fight that I want to make happen.
Gervonta Davis, of course, is the guy that starred last week knocking out Leo Santa Cruz in the seventh round, one-punch knockout, an uppercut, of course. Wow, what a sensational ending that was. And, of course, Davis is now at 130 pounds, 135 pounds. He's got two different titles. Bottom line is he is one of the fighters we're talking about. Ryan Garcia, of course, another one of the fighters, 135 pounds. Vasyl Lomachenko, maybe he's like Godfather said last week, 32 and going on 39. And, of course, there's a champ, Teofimo Lopez, undefeated just in 16 fights with 12 KOs. Larry, these guys are winning titles at very early ages, and they don't have that deep of an amateur resume. Is that something new?
Well, yes, in the sense that we have so many so-called sanctioning bodies, and we have to recognize that this is part of the marketing of prize fighters, and that if there's a sanctioning body out there that'll give you a title if you beat a second or even third-rate opponent because nobody else is fighting for your title. So it's an arrangement. The fighter has to pay a share of his earnings to the body. The body gives him some stature as a champion. And so it goes. In the end of the day, if there's any solution to all this, it's an old solution, which is we pick the fighters we like. We pick the fighters who thrill us. We pick the fighters who fight. I don't think the general public, much less the fighting public, can follow all of these titles.
Good point. Larry Merchant's our guest. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Let's get out of this hot sun into a nice, cool bar.
In a few minutes, honey.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Well, you know, it's my theory that if Don King was born rich and white, he'd be Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump was born poor and black, he'd be Don King.
Well, you have to talk to my lawyer on that one.
If they're not happy here, they can leave.
Yeah, right. You're fired. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking the world of boxing and MMA. Larry Merchant's on the line from the City of Angels in Southern California. Of course, the retired HBO Godfather. And Godfather, I got to tell you, this is a bit of a seminal moment before I get to Deontay Wilder, was that in 1994, Kamala Harris was the San Francisco District Attorney. And she didn't want to prosecute a cop killer with the death penalty. Now, being an ex-policeman, I was like adamant. Oh, bottom line is they put me on a panel. There were seven of us. We got up on the dais in the Bayview Hunters Point District, and we had this bit of a debate. And she kicked the snot out of me. I mean, she just took me apart piece by piece by piece, just meticulously took me apart. And at the end of the conference, I was agreeing with her that the death penalty was unfair and the way it was administered and this. And the bottom line was I was anti-death penalty from that point on. But she schooled me, and she schooled me. I guess it took her about 45 minutes to an hour before I realized that she had it. You know what I mean by it, Godfather?
Well, I was not that crazy about her. I live in California as well. She's an imposing figure. But I was surprised by how well she did as a candidate with Biden. I thought she struck the right notes, and I was impressed by her. Okay. We know that she's smart, but being smart isn't necessarily mean that you're going to be popular.
Deontay Wilder, former WBC title holder, of course, Alabama, the bronze bomber, 2008 Olympic bronze medalist, I believe, of course, former WBC champion, lost to Tyson Fury. At the end of the day, he said, it was his first his helmet. He carried a 40-pound helmet into the ring, and that made him tired. Then he said that Tyson Fury had some loaded gloves, and bottom line was he went from loaded gloves. Now, he said this week that Mark Breland, 1984 Olympic gold medalist, the guy that I realized I could never beat. When I saw him in the Olympic Training Center, I used to say to myself, you know, I want to fight Breland. I looked at Breland, God, he was damn too big. Anyway, he accused Breland of putting muscle relaxers in his drinking water. I mean, has he gone off the deep end or what?
Sounds like a guy named Donald Trump. he gets beaten and he refuses, in front of our eyes, and he refuses to accept it. You know, okay.
I guarantee you there's no problem.
Maybe he'll be able to do to Fury what Kamala Harris did to you.
Good point. Larry Murch is our guest, of course. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the Sunday edition, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 hours on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 211, and a plethora of other internet platforms. Bottom line is, Luis Ortiz was involved in action last night, the 98-year-old Cuban. Anyway, the fight lasted 30 seconds, and Alexander Flores bowed out with an injury. Haney was the winner over Gamboa. Of course, upcoming, you got Terrence Crawford against Kell Brook. Kell Brook, the twice-beaten welterweight, who I said, don't fight Gennady Golovkin. And you said you got to go where the money was. He went and fought Golovkin, had his face broken, and now he's going to come back and fight Terrence Crawford. Is he a threat to Crawford? And I got to ask you this about Crawford. I mean, he's undefeated, but outside of being undefeated, how come he hasn't risen to the level of star or superstar? He's sort of like a star in Omaha, but the most you can sell a ticket in Omaha for is probably $50.
This is a little bit above my pay scale. I don't know why he didn't go to a place like Spence, who seemed on the edge of becoming a formidable folk hero in boxing when he had a one-car accident that sidelined him and so on. It may have something to do with his quiet, his reserved character in public.
Mm-hmm.
It may have something to do with the level of opponents he's fought. He's one of those guys that elite opponents, potential opponents, say, why would I fight a guy as good as he is if I can't make 2 tons of money doing it? Because neither of us is that popular. So I don't know. Maybe it's going to be a long, hard slog for him. Golovkin was well into his 30s before he became a force. I like Crawford as a fighter, and he's still young enough to become something bigger than a fighter, a star, a superstar. If he can get some of these other elite welters into the ring with him. Okay.
Speaking of elite, Canelo Alvarez is a free agent and broken away from DAZN and from Oscar De La Hoya. They had reached some type of settlement this week, and he's going to fight Caleb Plant, I believe, on the 19th of December, and Al Heyman's going to promote that. So what I said yesterday, and it sort of got to irked a couple of people, was I thought that Canelo should go with Bob Arum because nobody does Mexican better than Bob Arum, and somebody took offense to that, but I meant it promotionally.
It's true that he's got a team in place for years and years. They know what they're doing, and he's developed a lot of stars in his half century career as a promoter. But I don't know who is offering who what, and so on. I suspect that Canelo is such a big draw that he could make his own pick, and I don't know that Arum works that way. In other words, he'd be hiring a promoter just to dust off the seats and make sure there's a car outside so that he can escape if possible, but he doesn't need a promoter in the sense of somebody who promotes a star. He's already a star, and I'm sure that from the point of view of Heyman, if he's associated with Canelo, then that maybe that helps his business in some way.
Yeah, because Heyman will do it. Heyman does things sometimes with hot people on short change or for short money in order just to get his name out there.
Right. Well, that's part of the deal. I wonder what happens to a Golden Boy now. You know, who's the next horse they can run? And that's obviously the kid Ryan Garcia.
Yep.
And who's got a real shot. He's not only a good fighter and puncher, he's a star personality. So life goes on, and from the point of view of the public and the fans, what does this mean about getting the guy in the ring? That's the important thing, so that we can turn our knobs and find him.
Bottom line is Canelo Alvarez is back in action December 19th. I believe it is on pay-per-view. Of course, Al Heyman promoting. Godfather, you have a good week. Say hello to the Godmama. How's she feeling?
We're doing good. We're hanging in there, and it's kind of chilly and blowy down here in Southern California. But, hey, that's okay. I tiptoed through all of the falling palm fronds yesterday. So, what a life.
What a life. Kiss the Godmama for me. Have a great week, sir.
Back at you, Pedro.
The great, the Hall of Famer, the incomparable. I'm talking about Larry Merchant, appearing exclusively on Sports Byline and Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is a Sunday edition, 11 a.m. Pacific time. Of course, we come to you 11 a.m. Pacific time live each and every Sunday on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 211, and a plethora of other internet platforms. This is Ring Talk.
Look at Jimbo with the Muay Thai kicks. He's got it all. Great. He saw a wide open shot and weathered the storm. He knows what it's like to have to weather an early storm. Look at this stuff.
Who would have said it would be Jimbo on the back with Lane Mercer in his guard? They tap it out. Guaranteed jump. Tampa win for Jimbo.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
That is just a fact of life.
Somebody shot me an email the other day. Is Kimbo Slice still fighting? Kimbo Slice is dead. He died of a heart attack. Messing around with them steroids, man. You mess with them steroids, you know, things happen. You got to check your heart. Bottom line is some guys don't know how to cycle on and cycle off. Some guys, like in professional wrestling, have done it for like 25 or 30 years, seem to be able to live a decent life. But, man, his life was cut short, I believe, on steroids. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of mixed martial arts, this segment, of course. Starting off with the UFC last night, coming to you from Las Vegas on ESPN Plus and ESPN 2. Glover Teixeira, of course, a Brazilian, who I consider the best-looking guy in the light heavyweight division. I'm just being modest. Anyway, Glover is now 32-7, a submission rear-naked choke winner over Thiago Santos, of course, another guy from Brazil. But the bottom line is this battle of Brazilians in Las Vegas, of course, in this sterile atmosphere down there they call the Apex Center, of course, ended in the third round, a five-round main event, ended 149 into round number three with a submission rear-naked choke, and Santos was, like, tapping out. Also in the co-feature, wow, surprise here, 3.5, take that back. 3-1 underdog, former UFC champion, talk about Andre Arlovsky, 3-1 underdog, beat Tanner Boser, unanimous nod across the board, 2 rounds to 1, or 29-28. Boser had some, moments, but the bottom line is, you know, Arlovsky just out-hustled him. He just did more, and he's like 41 years old. So for Tanner to lose to a 41-year-old guy, I know what you're thinking this morning. You're thinking a lot like Michael Moore, who I'll mention later in boxing's history. In other words, what are you famous for? Losing to an old man. Andre Arlovsky, 41 years old. Outside of the rest of the card, a women's strawweight bout. This tough chick from China, man. Yan Xion. X-A-X-I-A-O-N-A-N. Anyway, she beat Claudia Gadea from Brazil. Unanimous nod across the board. 2 rounds to 1, 29-28. Outside of that, the rest of the card, you know, not too much. UFC sort of hurting for personalities. I told you that before. But, you know, I have to give Dana White some credit. Because this pandemic began when? Like in March, right? And he didn't have any fights for a while. I mean, he had the March 14th card, I think, in Brazil. And then sort of things sort of stopped. And then he came back. Of course, he went to Jacksonville, Florida, and had the empty arena fights in May. And of course, in June, he went to the Apex Center. And then in July, he went first trip to Dubai. And then he came back to Las Vegas. Of course, then he went back to Dubai. And then, of course, now he's in Las Vegas. So that's where, Thiago Santos and Glover Teixeira fought last night. So, I mean, he's keeping his act on the road. If he, as a promoter, he's keeping his talent out there. They're getting work, and at least some of these guys are getting work. Whether it's work you want or not, that's a different story, because I've told you before that you should be able to figure out who you're going to fight and who you're not going to fight. Your manager does that, not the guy that runs the sanctioning body. No way, because, you know, you just get death match after death match, and unless you're the exception to the rule, you cannot live a long life in the world of the UFC. You can't, because the cards are stacked against you. You're getting hit, you're getting choked, you're getting submitted, things are happening, you're getting kicked. I mean, the possibility of getting drilled increases when you go beyond hands. There's just no doubt about it. And getting drilled in an ugly manner, I mean, like waking up unconscious. God, having done that to a couple of guys, I never ever dreamed about that. I mean, that was one thing it just never ever came to my mind. Good Lord. When I saw a guy sitting there, like when his eyebrows were twitching and this, and I said to myself, I never want to be like that. That's why I trained my ass off. Anyway, bottom line is UFC rocking and rolling, and you got to give Dana White some props for putting on shows, because he has put on shows in the midst of this pandemic. Now, his upcoming shows, you got UFC Fight Night, the 14th. Of course, that'll be on ESPN as well from the Apex Center. Then he's got UFC 255 with a couple of guys I never heard of, and UFC Fight Nights on ESPN December 5th, December 12th, December 19th, and he comes back with a UFC Fight Night 187 January 16th, of course, at a site to be determined. So they're either going to be in Las Vegas, Orlando, Florida, or Dubai, that's what I told. But, you know, they've got all these private jets, so they fly them around the world back and forth. More power to them. I mean, at least they're flying first class. Speaking of first class, I want to mention this before I go on. Dave Chappelle did a big SNL open last night. Dave Chappelle, of course, a comedian, and Saturday Night Live. And I thought it was cool that the guy behind Dave Chappelle during this entire opening segment, his opening monologue, was a guy by the name of Lenny Pickett. Lenny Pickett went to high school here in Northern California, and he was like the second saxophone player for Tower of Power, second or third top saxophone player for Tower of Power. So he spent a couple of years with Tower of Power, and then he was chosen as a Saturday night musical director. And he took that, I think, in 1983 or 1984, and he's been there ever since. But that was Lenny Pickett standing behind Dave Chappelle last night, or sitting behind Dave Chappelle last night, with the on stage with the saxophone and the mask on. So that was LP Lenny Pickett. So the rest of the UFC year, not a whole lot to talk about. I mean, you know, there's no, you know, they don't have a whole lot of names. Now, Khabib's retired, and Khabib, of course, Nurmagomedov, and everybody says, you know, he's the most unbeatable guy in the entire world. I got old. That got old to me. It just got old. I mean, I believe in good street fights. You know, I've been in my share of street fights, but you know, it sort of gets old when you've got a guy that's 25 or 30 pounds bigger than you, just mauling you to death. Now, Hector Martinez says, don't blame the players, blame the game. But I don't know. In this place, I think I'm going to blame the players. Let's switch gears. Let's talk about boxing history. Of course, brought to us by our house historian, Grandmaster Billo, November 7th, that was yesterday, today, and January 7th, 1951. Dan Duva, the man that created pay-per-view. I kid you not. He was a promoter of main events. Of course, he signed in the 1984 Olympic team with Meldrick Taylor, Evander Holyfield, Mark Breland, and a whole lot of other guys, with Shelley Finkel. Shelley Finkel was a manager, per se, and Dan Duva was the promoter. And of course, from that point forward, Dan Duva was like unstoppable. And then, in 1981, he came up with this concept where he was promoting the first Sugar Ray Leonard Tommy Hearns fight. So he was going to put that on pay-per-view, on home pay-per-view. And Don King says, man, you're going to ruin the business. And Bob Arum said, that's it. He's killing the business. He's going to kill it. 1,900 people will be watching one TV set. We'll never make any money on pay-per-view. You should have heard them whining, both of them whining, Don King and Bob Arum whining. Well, it turns out, Dan Duva was a genius. Pay-per-view, of course, is how they make their money now. In fact, with no live crowds, but not for pay-per-view, they wouldn't be making anything. Anyway, Dan Duva, born on this day, November 7th, 1951, born yesterday, 1951. He died of a brain tumor. And when I saw him with the last fight, I believe, in Las Vegas, you know, he and I were tight to an extent. He didn't get tight with too many people, but he would call me on the phone every now and then, and he got me some great TV gigs. I mean, I did the Ike Abeyabuchi David Tua fight in Sacramento, California, that 12-round heavyweight fight considered maybe the greatest heavyweight fight of all time, and I called that on HBO International all by myself. So, I mean, Dan Duva gave me some spectacular gigs and some spectacular opportunities. But when I saw him that last time in Las Vegas, and you know, he had the brain tumor and it was cancerous, and it was really sad. So he was a classy guy, took care of his family to the end, and may he rest in peace. Dan Duva, born November 7th, 1951. Former heavyweight champion, Gene Tunney and Joe Frazier died on November 7th, 1978. Was Tunney, and 2005, I think, was Frazier. I'm not sure. Anyway, bottom line is 1970, Carlos Monzon TKO'd Nino Benvenuti to win the World Middleweight Championship. Of course, Carlos Monzon, the World Middleweight Champion from Brazil. Of course, that, he was a murderer. He murdered his girlfriend. He was drunk in a drunken rage. He threw off a hotel balcony or an apartment balcony to her death. And guess what? So the people down there, they treat Argentina, somewhere down there, one of those countries. Anyway, they treat him like gold. He's like an icon, right? So he goes to jail. They send him to prison for killing his chick. I mean, he murdered her. He was choking her. He threw her off a balcony. It's like this. Biatch, you're done. Just threw her right off the balcony. So anyway, she gets thrown off the balcony. She dies. He gets a prison sentence, and they allow him to have prison like in a villa. I kid you not. And then they let him to have, we could have weekend visits. So he's out on a weekend visit, like a conjugal visit. I kid you not. Cause he's got some chick in the car and he's driving with some chick in the car. And it's another one. You know, he killed the one already. So he's driving with another woman in the car. He gets into a car accident and he dies. What can I say? All I can say is karma was rocking and rolling for Carlos Monzon. Not the greatest middleweight in the world. I always thought he was overrated. I thought the guys like Hagler would have beat him, and that I think Duran might even picked him apart, or lightweight picking him apart. That's how not great of a middleweight he was, or how great of a fighter the former lightweight champion Roberto Duran is. 1981, WB light heavyweight champion Michael Spinks remained undefeated with a KO7 of Von Zell Johnson. Of course, in AC, that was probably a Trump fight. 1988, WC light heavyweight title. Donnie Lon loses to Sugar Ray Leonard and captures the newly created WBC super middleweight title. Of course, now Leonard has 5 titles in 5 different weight classes. Bottom line is, that was one hell of a day. I was there. Of course, I trained with Ray for that fight down there in Florida. West Palm Beach. And then, of course, we had the fight in Las Vegas, and Ray lost the fight after 12 rounds. I mean, he lost the fight. They called it a draw, but he really lost the fight. He admitted it a little bit later in life. Take that out. I'm talking about Hearns' fight. Let's talk about the Lon fight. Excuse me. Got mixed up there. Anyway, 1988 was the Lon fight that set up the Hearns fight. It was in 1989. Anyway, he steps up and fights a guy that's a light heavyweight. So Donnie Lon and his manager and Sugar Ray Leonard show up to the airport, say Marriott Hotel or something like that, the Hilton or something like that, in San Francisco. And I showed up because I heard that Donnie Lon has a shoulder injury and he can't raise his hand above his chest. Okay, that's what I heard. It was right hand or his left hand. So anyway, I showed up with a tape measure. And I said to myself, this is how I'm going to get him to hold his hands up, see if he can hold his hands up. Because I wanted him to do like a wing, like put both hands out on each side, right? So anyway, I went up to the stage and I tried to get him to measure his reach. And his manager, Dave Wolf, the late Dave Wolf, he said, no, you're not doing that, Pedro. You're not doing that. I know where you're going with that. So he knew exactly where I was going with that. I was trying to figure out where Donnie was. Basically, you know, handicapped as a fighter. I mean, he fought with one arm for the most part, and guess what? He dropped Ray Leonard. He had Ray hurt, but Ray got off the deck and ended up stopping him, of course, and capturing the WBC light heavyweight and the WBC newly created 168-pound title. In 1992, Azuma Nelson, man, Azuma, good Lord, Azuma was rocking and rolling, no doubt about that. Azuma Nelson, of course, the WBC champion, what, at 126 pounds, 130 pounds, never made it quite to 135 pounds, but on this November 7, 1992, in Stateline, Nevada, Azuma Nelson beat Calvin Grove, Calvin Silky Grove. Of course, he fought in the last 15-round fight that I can remember. That was against Yomar Merrill Paez in Mexicali, Mexico, for the IBF featherweight title. It was back in the day. November 8th, today, in boxing history, rocking and rolling, of course, man, got to say this, the great lightweight champion Lou Amber is born on this day in upstate New York in 1913. Detroit, Michigan, Hilmer Kenty, winner 15 rounds over Villamar Fernandez, retains the lightweight title. Hilmer Kenty, of course, one of the initial champions of the Kronk Gym back there in Detroit, Michigan. Of course, Emanuel Stewart, the late Emanuel Stewart, Prentice Bird, and a couple other guys threw together this fantastic boxing team. It was called the Kronk Boxing Team, of which I got this jacket right here on the back of my chair here in the studio, and the bottom line is, Kronk was special, no doubt about that. And Hilmer Kenty was special, winner of 15-round decision. Monte Carlo, 1988, Sambu Kalabe, KO7, Doug DeWitt retains the WBA middleweight title. Sambu Kalabe, of course, gets knocked out in Las Vegas, by Michael Nunn. Was it Las Vegas or Reno? I think it was Las Vegas. So he gets knocked out by Michael Nunn in Las Vegas. And then, of course, I'm trying to set up a fight between Michael Nunn and Sugar Ray Leonard. And I know they don't like each other. So Mike shows up at the disco and Ray shows up at the disco. And of course, I start to fight between these two guys and they almost went to blows. It was sort of cool. Anyway, as I said, Evander Holyfield, 1997, Evander Holyfield knocked out Michael Moore in 8 rounds, retained the WBA and IBF heavyweight titles. Bottom line is Evander Holyfield, very underrated, no doubt about that. I mean, guy that moved from cruiser to heavyweight. And yes, he did take Flintstone vitamins. There's no doubt about it. I think we can get get him to admit the fact that he was Evan Fields. Of course, Evan Fields was the guy that FedEx delivery guy delivered the steroids to a few years ago and then took a picture with him. Hey, this is Evander Holyfield. I just delivered steroids there. Let me take a picture with you, champ. So they took a picture together, sort of busted. Anyway, Las Vegas 2003, the first of 3 fights, Roy Jones had a controversial win over Antonio Tarver. Of course, in the second fight, Tarver would come back and knock Roy's, you know what, in the dirt. I can't use that word on the air, but the bottom line is he was rocking and rolling. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of boxing, MMA. Hour number two, we're going to have some fun with Vince Caruso. Who's he? Boxing character, no doubt about that. I mean, a promoter, a manager. He's done just about everything. I don't think I've ever seen him fight as far as pushing him up the steps, but if we needed somebody to fill a card, we might use Vince. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Mm-hmm. That's the Jeopardy soundtrack. Of course, Alex Trebek passing away this weekend at the age of 80 from pancreatic cancer. Listen, he was a champion. He fought that as long and as hard as you can. I mean, he fought it until the end. And, you know, I give him a lot of credit because he was public about it. I mean, I don't know if I could be public if I was dying of something like that. I mean, just make it all public and everybody knows. But, you know, the bottom line is he was the face of Jeopardy for decades, and he's going to be missed, no doubt about that. May he rest in peace. Hour number two. We delve into the world of Vince Caruso. Vince Caruso, of course, boxing promoter, boxing manager. He once went out with Jackie Kaylin. Of course, Jay, she was the star, the subject of Against Ropes, a 2004 movie. So we've got all kinds of stuff to dig into with Vince Caruso in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Also go over some results, of course, upcoming fights next week as well. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. If you'd like to join us on the toll-free, you can. But be advised, if you call and say something stupid, I will hang up on you. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or get this, the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. The text line, the number, 1-415-275-1613. That's 1-415-275-1613. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 37-plus years now. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and mixed martial arts, a.k.a. combat sports. For us, we come to you from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California, every Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. You can catch our podcasts on iTunes and Google and all kinds of crazy stuff. But the bottom line is, if you really check out our page, go to anchor.com. Ring Talk Live Worldwide has a page there for all our podcasts and all our special interviews as well. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing, MMA. Stay tuned for hour number two. Lenny Williams and Tower of Power to the break. 'Cause I love you so.